Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter number 12. The book of 2 Corinthians and chapter number 12. And I am so excited to be here today. More than you know, it was a fight and a struggle to be here. I had the option of not being here, but I chose to be here. I wanted to be here. I believe that this is a message for this time. I appreciate you praying for me during this time. It has been very much not on the schedule of the things that were going on and the pain and the things that were going on, but God is still good and God is still right. And I'm thankful that even in the midst of this, that we could depend and trust on Him. And I believe that in the midst of this, that God can use pain and suffering to draw us closer to the Lord, which is exactly what the message is tonight. This is a message that I wish that every one of our church folks could hear. I wish that every church folk not only could hear, but they would keep this message somewhere close, put it on repeat, put it on somewhere where they could pull back up. This is a message, I believe, that if the Lord uses it the way that He ought to, could be something that can change our life, our mindset, our outlook, our ministry, the way that we see things, an attitude adjustment, and perhaps even give us the revival that we need, our personal revival, when we look at things the way that it ought to. More and more about Jesus, less and less about me. If you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12. The book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12. Of course, this year we are placing a great emphasis on understanding the love of God. And sometimes when we think of the word love, we, of course, think of hugs and kisses. We think of the good things. We think of the benefits. And we think of gifts. And I want to describe a gift that the Bible describes to us in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12. The book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12. And notice with me, if you don't mind, and notice with me in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12. And notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 1. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes to the church of Corinth, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. For such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I would not be a fool, for I would say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, and lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12? The book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12, and notice with me in verse number 7, notice the phrase, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh." There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach a message of the gift of thorns. The gift of thorns. If you wouldn't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you, I'm just asking that you would just give us grace and that you would give us mercy and that you would just help us even now. Thank you, Lord, that you know what you're doing and we can trust you. And even now, I'm asking that I would set aside my own thoughts of myself, my own infirmities, my own hurts, my own mind, my own weariness, my own whatever. And I give you this time, what little strength, what little health, whatever I have, I give to you to use however you see fit. Of course, there is a way that I want to be used. But Lord, it's not about me. It's not about my wants. It's not even about my desires. It's about what you want to get accomplished, what you want done, and we can trust you. Lord, I'm asking that you would just give us grace and mercy during this time, that you would open up this principle that maybe we've never thought of before, that we've never discovered, that maybe we've heard peripherally, but we've never really examined. And it would really revolutionize how we see you, how we see ourselves, and how we see the situations we find ourselves in. And we can trust you. Lord, use this message beyond my own self, beyond what I could think or ask or do, that it could truly be said, this is what God did and how God changed it and how God used this. Lord, revolutionize and revive someone tonight because of this message. And we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice again that phrase in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 7, where the Apostle Paul says, "There was given to me a thorn." There was a gift given to the Apostle Paul. It was a gift. And it was a gift of thorns. We often don't think about a gift like this being a gift, but yet the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, God gave me a gift. We understand that God is the one who provided it. God's the one who gave it. We'll examine the text a little bit more in detail in a second, but God's the one who provided it. God gave Paul a gift of thorns, and it was necessary. It was needful. It was exactly what the Apostle Paul needed. A thorn in the flesh. You know, it is wondrous and wonderful to discover God's intent in a matter. You know, we could look at something that happens to us, and we don't know why we go through it. We don't know what the purpose is. We wouldn't have chosen it ourselves. But later on, we could see God knew what he was doing. God had a purpose in it. God saw what was needed. And we could look and say, wow, what a God. God was right to put this in my life. God was good to allow this to happen to me. God was right. Now, when we don't understand God's intent, we don't understand that God provided it, we don't understand the gift of thorns, we're tempted to say things or respond in such a way that would not bless the Lord. If we're not careful, our reactions or our responses or our feelings to things are what get us in trouble. We respond as if God had nothing to do with the matter and had nothing to do with our difficulties. But we have to recognize that God is in charge of everything. God put things in our life. And so often we look at things as if God had nothing to do with things in our life. But if God is truly in charge, then we also have to recognize that God knew what he was doing. God placed things within our life. You don't have to turn there, but the book of Hebrews speaks about making his ministers a flame of fire. And everybody who wants to be used of God loves that type of phrase. I want to be used of God. I don't want to just be used of God in a minor way. I want to be a minister, a servant, someone used of God, a flame of fire. I want to be used powerfully of God. But there is no easy way to serve God. There is no way of serving God without pain, without suffering, without hardship. There is no such animal. Everyone thinks that they're an exception. Everyone thinks that they're spiritual enough that I could serve God without going through hardship, without going through a brokenness. Anyone who is going to be used of God must go through breaking. Every person. And if you're not willing to be broken, you're not willing to be used of God. But God knows how to break us. We could go through history and go examine people. You take John Wesley. Most people who have heard of any type of religious history have heard of John Wesley. He was one of the people God used to bring about the first great awakening, the father of the Methodist movement. It was said that he took England and shook it for the Lord, but not only England, but also America, him and George Whitefield. If it wasn't for John Wesley, England would have suffered the same fate of revolution that France did. And France's revolution was not a good revolution. The Wesley revival spared England and brought England to a biblical mindset. And yet, while people look at John Wesley and said, here's a man used of God. Here is someone mightily used of God. Oh, to be used like that. A lot of people don't realize the hardship that he went through. He was only 4'11". A lot of people think that someone like that had to be a giant of faith. 4'11". That already puts a complex inside of you. Most people look down upon you. 4'11". That's a lot to overcome. To be taken seriously. 4'11". On top of that, his home life was deeply unhappy. His earlier hopes of marriage were frustrated, and his eventual marriage to Molly Vesvel was marked with continual conflict. One biographer marked that some friends went to go visit him, and they went to visit him to find his wife dragging him by the hair across the house. John Wesley. Eventually, she left. And to paraphrase, he said, she's gone and I'm not going after her. I'm done. You're like, how does that compute? God knows how to break us. So we're dependent upon us. Because it's not about us. It is not about our skill. It is not about our power, our height. It is not about our ability. It is not about us. You could look at someone like a W.A. Criswell, one of the great giants of the 20th century, one of the leaders of the Southern Baptist Church. His books have been helped to modern day preachers, radio programs, things of great help. And yet, his own daughter had a child out of wedlock, father not in the picture, broke him. She was later restored, served the Lord. That young man served the Lord. But that was a hard time. It was something he wouldn't have chosen for himself, something he didn't even see. but it was something that God placed in his life to make him dependent upon the Lord. And God knows how to break us. No person can be used of the Lord greatly without being broken. Let me pose a question. Is God against us because we're serving him? Or is he for us? You have to answer that for yourself. Of course, we know the answer is that he's for us. But we act like sometimes that God is against us. Oh, look at what he's done against me. Oh, he put this in my life. Oh, how poor is me. God puts those things in our life for us good. It is the gift of thorns. And it is there for our good. It is there for our benefit. It is there because we need it. It is there for our sake. In fact, hold your finger here and let me prove it to you all the way at the beginning. Turn with me to the book of Genesis in chapter number 3. If you're familiar, Genesis chapter 3 is recalling the fall of man. Adam and Eve had sinned against God, only one rule, and they've broken that one rule. And now there's consequences that God has to divvy out. And there's always consequences for sin. And yet God is gracious during all of it. And when you look at this, you have to look not as God being mean, but you have to look at God's graciousness. I want you to pay attention to this. Notice, of course, it starts in verse 14 as God is winding up, as he's taking each of the three individuals that are lined up in here, Genesis 3 and verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above all the beasts of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Now notice, we're going to get to the end in just a bit. But notice, as he's talking to the woman, it said, in sorrow I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. More than pain and sorrow in childbirth, there's a pain and sorrow in child rearing. Children will break your heart. Children will be used to bring sorrow and pain to you like none other. And that's, of course, part of the consequence. Eve had no idea of the sorrow that sin brought. Notice as it goes on. It says, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. There was no problem with submission until there was sin. And ever since Eve, there has not been a woman who has not had a problem submitting to her husband. That's been a continual thing. That's part of the flesh. That's part of the sin nature. And that's something that continually has to go. Now, I will make it clear that every woman should have the joy of submitting to a man who cares more for her than he cares for himself. I know that's not always true. And any man who mistreats a woman is a scumbag, and I will just state that very clearly, and I don't want to spend too much time on that. But every woman should have the joy of submitting to a man who cares more for her than he cares for himself. That's how it should be. But even in that case, every woman will still have a problem submitting, because that's part of the sin nature. But God says there's going to be sorrow. But it's not a period there. I want you to go on. Notice as he turns to the man in verse number 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of the wife, and thou hast eaten of the tree which I've commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Now, normally we would like to read that. Cursed is the ground for thy sin. But God didn't say for thy sin. He said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow, notice that sorrow again, thou shalt eat of it in all the days of the life. Thorns also in thistles it shall bring to thee. And thou shalt eat of the herbs in the fields. Notice in verse 17, God says to the man, cursed is the ground for your sake. I'm putting thorns in your way for your sake. There is going to be sorrow in your life for your sake. To the woman, there is going to be sorrow in your life for your sake. You're like, how is it for my sake? If it was my way, I'd have no problems. That sounds better. But God knows every single one of us attempt, all of us attempt, to live our lives without God. What does that mean? We try to live without God. You wake up in the morning, you don't need God. You eat breakfast in the morning, you don't need God. You drive to work in the morning, you don't need God. You go to work, you don't need God. You eat lunch, you don't need God. You continue to work, you don't need God. You drive home, you don't need God. You come home, make yourself supper, you don't need God. On most of our days, we can live our life and not need God. And if we could get by with it, we would never need God. That's our human nature. Why does God put sorrow in our lives, thorns in our lives for our sake? To remind us that we desperately need God. We have to have those reminders because we will try every time to live without God if we can. But God gives us the gift of thorns. Now, all that was introduction. Turn back with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. And let's study this passage here about the gift of thorns. I want to show you several things here. First of all, Paul was a blessed man. Paul was a blessed man. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 7. It says in 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure. Notice this. He starts off by saying, lest. Hey, you know what? Unless I get the big britches, unless I get the big head, unless I start to think it's all about me, unless I start thinking about how great I am, unless I start thinking about, oh, look at how great and wonderful I wrote 14 books of the Bible. Oh, look at all the churches I started. Oh, look at how well God used me. Unless I start thinking about how great I am, God gave me a gift of thorns. He did it for my sake. In fact, notice exactly what it said. Unless I be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Notice that word given. That word given is a word that means given, like given a special gift. It carries the idea you were given a special gift. When you are given the gift of thorns, you are given a special gift from God. You're like, it doesn't feel like it. Sorrows never do. That's why we have to change how we look at things. The gift of thorns. Paul was a blessed man because God gave him a gift. It was necessary. Because Paul would be at the place, even Paul could get to the place where he could live without God, thinking it was all about Paul. Look how great Paul was. Look how amazing Paul is. Look how studied Paul was. Look how amazing he was. Look at everyone looking at him. Oh, Paul, you're so great. You're so wise. You're so knowledgeable. Oh, if I have a problem, I could just go up to Paul. Oh, if I have a question, I could just go up to Paul. If I have a need, I could just go up to Paul. After a while, you get the big head. Oh, look, everyone's coming up to me. Everyone needs me. Everyone needs my advice. Oh, look at how important I am. Paul knew, I needed this gift. I needed this gift of thorns. I'm a blessed man. God with this gift of thorns is dealing with our self-sufficiency. God with this gift is dealing with our pride. God is dealing with our feelings that we don't need anything, including God. Again, given our own way, we would never have a bad day. We would never have a problem. We would never have a flat tire. We would never need a new car. We would never need a new air conditioner. We would never need a new heater. We would never, never need any problems whatsoever. We would be good, content, and undependent upon the Lord. We would be fat, happy, and spiritually anemic. Sometimes when we're having our most difficult time, and in the midst of that most difficult time, we get to the place where we say, well, the Lord's finished with us. It's just so hard. I just can't go on anymore. I think God's just done with me. I can't imagine me even getting past this. I think God's done. It could be that God's getting ready to do his greatest work with us because he's getting at the place where we're realizing it's not me. It's not me. It's less and less of me and more about Jesus. Paul was a blessed man because God gave him a gift. It was given unto him, this gift of thorns. We also see this, the messenger of Satan. The messenger of Satan. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given unto me a thorn of the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Martin Luther, who we as Baptists don't quote him that often, but he said this, which is good. I would like you to write this down because it would be good to have in your head. The devil is the Lord's devil. The devil is the Lord's devil. Do you know Satan has to obey God? It carries with it that Satan's in chains and can only go so far. God is in control. God can use Satan, and yes, Satan may relish in his work. But God uses Satan to get accomplished God's work. But God's in control. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. In fact, so much so that Paul repeats the same thing that he started in verse 7. He repeats it again at the end of verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, God gave me a gift of thorns, and he used the Lord's devil to do it, lest I be dependent upon myself, lest I be dependent upon Paul, lest I start thinking I'm important. Notice there's another thing. He prayed. He prayed. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from thee. Now, don't get this wrong. This wasn't a quick 30-second prayer. He besought in seasons of prayer. Three seasons of prayer, he besought the Lord. Now, perhaps the Apostle Paul thought that he could serve the Lord better in the body of a decathlon athlete. That if I had the body that would never run down, if I had a body where I could just go and 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 never get weary, oh, I could really do something for the Lord. But God says, no, that's not what we need here. It's not about you. And sure that Paul's tried to pray. We don't know what it is. The Bible doesn't say, and that's on purpose. The inspiration of God is just as much in what God said. It's also in just as much as in what God did not say. we could relate to it because it doesn't say what it is. All of us could relate to us this, that we have some sort of infirmity, that God may have allowed something in you. And you may have prayed and said, God, I could serve you better if you would just take this out of my life. Oh, if you didn't have this in my life, I could do something more for you. And God says, I'm not taking it away, because this is something I put in your life to make you dependent upon me. Because without it, you would try to be dependent upon yourself. I gave you a gift. I know it doesn't feel like it, but that's because you're looking at it the wrong way. I gave you a gift. And Paul prayed, and God didn't take it away. Now again, if anyone was going to get his prayers answered, it'd be Paul. 3 seasons of prayer, not 3 30-second prayers. Seasons of prayer. And God didn't take it away. He prayed. But God gave an answer. My grace is sufficient for thee. There are some things that will not be removed from your life. What does that do to your thinking? That God will not remove some things from your life? Some people get angry with God. Mad at God. Quit God. Fine. If you're not going to take this away, you understand we have a wrong way of looking at things. This is why a message like this is so important, because we have to see the gift of thorns. That God is the one who placed this in our life. And we may not understand why, but we can understand who. And that God had a purpose, and that we are going to be more dependent upon God because of what he's doing. And we could pray, and we may think that we know better. Oh, I could serve you better if I was rich, if I was healthy, if I had the strength, if I had the mind, if I had the ability, if I could speak, if I was thin, if I was taller, if I was whatever else. And God says, no, that's not how it works. My grace is sufficient for thee. I am enough, not you. It's never about you. God uses broken things. And when you pray and say, God, please take this away. I can't deal with this. Please, God, take this away. And he says, no. It's amazing to see how many people quit. How many people fall apart. How many people lose. How many people quit church, quit Bible reading, get bitter with God. Start talking about leaving. How many people say, I don't have the feelings anymore. It's not based off feelings. It's just not exciting anymore. It's not based off of excitement. If God doesn't give me the feelings, I'm just not going to do it anymore. Something's wrong. God may let you be dry all the rest of your life just to see if you're going to serve God, because he is God. He knows how to work. He knows what we need. His grace is sufficient. You will have greater victory in your life with the thorn than you will ever have without the thorn. This thorn is a gift. Spurgeon said, the greatest gift God can give someone is good health. Unless God gives someone bad health. Then it's a greater gift. Because poor health will bring with it the grace of God. Of course, Spurgeon's also one that said that he'd rather die so that way he could have the full rapture experience to get the brand new body rather than just be raptured up. But, you know. But he was also used of God, so. But he was used of God mightily. He knew something about a thorn. The Apostle Paul, notice what he said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Notice that phrase, perfect in weakness. That needs to go on a brass plaque within our life. Perfect in weakness. Perfect in weakness. You know what your weakness is? A place where you could become perfect in the Lord, where God can make you complete and whole, where you can't do it yourself, but God completes you perfect in weakness. You know, sometimes we think if we have someone in the ministry, we need someone who has all their stuff all together. Someone who could preach well, someone who looks great, someone in perfect health. You know what we need to have? We need to find someone who's lots of trouble, broken, because there's someone who needs lots of grace. That's someone who God can use. You're like, I fit that category. Yes. God uses broken things because his strength is made perfect in weakness. Perfect in weakness. It's not about us. It's not our ability. It's not our strength. It's not our good looks, our height. It's not our athletic prowess. It's not any of that. It is God. Notice he goes on. Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities. Notice this. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. How does the power of Christ rest upon me? When I am weak, he is strong. When I have my failings, my infirmities, he makes me perfect in weakness. Notice he lists the thorns. That's always nice. He lists the thorns. We don't have to be imagined. Notice he gives us a list here, verse 10. Therefore, I will take pleasure in infirmities. Here's our first thorn, the thorn of infirmities. What is this? Physical ailments. My infirmities, physical ailments. Things I have wrong in my body. That's a thorn that God has given to you. You may have never thought of your physical ailment as a thorn before. You may have seen it as a hindrance, something in your way, something that keeps you from being used or doing what you want to do. Charles Wesley, 4'11", but God made him perfect in his weakness. It wasn't about him. Notice another thorn. Therefore, I will take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. These reproaches are identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is that we want to be accepted by the world. We want the world to like us. And anytime we identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, we stand out and we don't like that. And we consider that a big deal that the world looks at us differently. And God puts that on purpose. We are to be different. God designed us to be different. And yet we don't like it at all. It is something God placed in our life. Notice another thorn. Therefore, I will take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. These necessities are things that we cannot escape. We cannot go past them. We cannot go under them. We cannot go over them. They are things we must face in our life. There are things that we face in our life. We can't get around it. We can't get away from it. We try, but we have to face them. Those are thorns. We have to deal with them. We have persecutions. Of course, the Apostle Paul listed his persecutions on 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 28, or 31. I am not going to go through that list now. You could do it. It's just right across the page. But he went through persecutions. It's something we know very little of. But that was a thorn, a blessing, a gift that God gave to some people is persecutions. Notice this. In distresses. What is distresses? It's when you're pressed on all sides. Pressed on all sides. There's no way of escape. You are pressed. You are squished. There is no way out. Pressed on all sides. You feeling that pressure everywhere. That's a thorn. It's a gift that God gave. So you have to depend upon him. You no longer have the strength. You no longer have the ability. It's beyond it. Paul spoke about this earlier in 2 Corinthians where he said, I despaired of life because of the distresses. But notice Paul gives a conclusion after this. Therefore, I will take pleasure in the infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I want you to connect the words when to then. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It is only when you are weak that you are strong in the Lord. When you are strong in yourself, you are weak in the Lord. That's where the blessings of thorns come from. Because you have to be weak in yourself. It cannot be about yourself. And so often we try to live our life without God. I don't need God for breakfast. I don't need God to drive. I don't need God for work. I don't need God to deal with people. I don't need God to sleep. I don't need God. Every once in a while, I'll remember religiously to say something to God, but I don't need him. And God has to put something in your life just to let you know you're not big enough. You're not strong enough. You're not able enough. You're not mentally tough enough. You need him. And the more that you realize that you need him, the more you can be used of him. The more that you resist and you complain, oh, why did God put this in my life? It's not fair. It's not right. Why, God, why? You're just hindering yourself. We have to see this as a gift. We have to get our eyes off ourselves and put them on the Lord and see that he knows what he's doing. For when I am then he is strong. You have to connect that when to that then. The blessings of thorns. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.